Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way.
In this week's episode of the Marketing Stir podcast, Laura Vanderslice, Director of Marketing Planning and Strategy at Sam's Club, joins AJ and Vincent to discuss some of her past campaigns, the differences between wholesale and retail marketing, and the future of retail marketing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stirista's The Marketing Stir. I am your happy host, Vincent Petrofessa, the Vice President of B2B Products here at Stirista. So good to be talking to you. I'm so happy. Today is a great episode. Oh my goodness, the guests we keep on getting. I'm so excited. But before we get to our guest and my co-host, he's joining me. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Let's pause, talk about Stirista for like 10 seconds. The old elevator pitch, we're a marketing technology company. We own our own B2B data, B2C data. That's business, that's consumer. For those of you who don't know, you most likely do. It's a marketing podcast. We help companies access that data through some of our technologies, our own email sending platform, our own demand side platform. We help companies get new customers. Email me. Vincent@stirista.com. I just gave you my email address. That is how confident I am. Maybe silly, but I gave you my email address and you are using it. Not always for what I intended, but again, you're listening and we appreciate that. The other thing I appreciate very much, I just got to see him at Adweek. This guy's a rock star at Adweek. He hosts his own panel. Where's my panel? I'm not on a panel. And I'm going to see him again because he is receiving the Innovation Disruptor Silver Apple Award at the 40th Annual Silver Apple Awards here in New York City at the Hard Rock. Speaking of Hard Rock, right? He's, you know, calling in from the Hard Rock, but the Hard Rock here in Manhattan, for which I'm going to be hosting. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. AJ Gupta, what's going on, AJ?
Hey, Vincent, I actually didn't realize it was at Hard Rock as well. That's a coincidence.
It was. You're calling in from there. I call him AJ Swifty Gupta. He's going to see where we're... I'm outing you, AJ. You're going to see Taylor Swift. And
I was hoping you didn't do that.
Of course I'm going to do that. You would do the same thing to me. What are you ashamed of? You know, Taylor Swift, as you know, she lives in my neighborhood. That's my homegirl, Taylor Swift. So, but I've never seen her.
You and Taylor go way back.
Yeah, she's my pal. But is it still the Eras Tour? Is that the name of it still going on?
It is. Yeah. I guess she has limited dates back in the U.S. now.
She's crushing it. T-Swift is crushing it.
I'm a cultural guy, so I got to see what this is all about.
Get your bracelets ready. You got to get your bracelets ready. I trade with people. It's supposed to be amazing. I mean, come on. She's crushing it right now. She's the king and queen right now, rocking it out. So yeah. And then you're going to be here November 7th. That's coming up.
By the way, I'm going to give a shout out to Mark Traverso from our team. He is a frequent Hard Rock customer. So I am pretending to be Mark this weekend. He is like a celebrity at this casino. I'm not sure how much he gambles, but I think it's a fair amount based on my room. So
that's awesome. So yeah, AJ Traverso Gupta, I love it. That's this is great. But yeah, no, gonna see you again in New York City. Coming here, big event. People are already talking about it. A lot of tickets being sold for that. But that is great. We'll be back representing. So come to that. Come to the Silver Apple Award, November 7th. It's the Marketing Club of New York. It's a nonprofit organization that keeps students and gives scholarships to students here in the New York City area in college to keep them studying our great field of marketing. And with that, AJ, the guests just keep on coming. We have amazing guests. When I talk to this next guest, I'm like, I like her very much. We hit it off. She's my pal. And we had to have her on the podcast. She's coming from Sam's Club. Right? People know Sam's Club all over the country. Manhattan, not a Manhattanites may not know Sam's Club. We want to. We wish it was here, but we know Sam's Club. Come on. And we have with us the director, marketing, planning, and strategy at Sam's Club, our new friend, ladies and gentlemen, Laura Vanderslice. What's going on, Laura?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you.
I'm thrilled to join. I was when we were chatting earlier, I was going to ask you, AJ, if you were going to Taylor Swift, and then I didn't. So I'm really glad you brought it up. I that was the first thing I thought. And I thought, you know what? Don't go there yet. But I should have.
Yeah, yeah. I think pretty much anybody here this weekend is for Taylor Swift.
That she's changing. She changes the whole economy when she goes there. I didn't even know. I guessed when he messaged me. He's like, hey, I'm in Florida for a concert, but I'm going to call in. I don't want to miss this episode. And I guessed. I was like, the concert. I was just joking. I was like, I didn't know the schedule. I was like, are you going to see Taylor Swift? He's like, yes. Yes, I am. And don't be ashamed of it. You know how many people would love to go see Taylor Swift? It's gonna be great. The fact that you're going by yourself, that's a little weird. No, I'm kidding.
But hey, I was in the line to check in for the hotel, and this lady was just flipping out. She needed some help with her hair, but she was freaking out at the front desk person. And she's basically, she's like, "I'm normally not a Karen, but this is such a big deal. No one can ever do my hair." And I'm like, "Well, you find the most touristy hotel to do your hair."
Yeah, and so you're over there braiding this lady's hair in line. It's like I have no experience, ma'am. I have no experience, but that's awesome. So Laura is also a Swiftie. Is that safe to say, Laura?
100%. Have been for years.
Love it. I love it. Laura, so let's get right into it, because I'm so excited to have you and talk to you again. Sam's Club, people should know it. But if they don't, talk to us about Sam's Club, and then talk to us about your role. I love your role. A lot of you could almost tell what you do there based on the title. There's a lot of different things, but it's so much that you're doing there. Talk to us about your role and a little bit about Sam's Club if people out there get off of their rock that they're living under. So yeah.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So Sam's Club is a warehouse channel. We sell items in large quantities, and by, you know, offering those large quantities to our members, we're able to offer them at a pretty significant discount and value for our shoppers and for our members. So we are owned by our parent company, Walmart. I'm sure everyone's heard of them. And yeah, so I've been there a couple of years. I'm the director of marketing planning and strategy, as you mentioned, and that really, I serve an integrated marketing role. I work really closely with our cross-functional partners and our channel teams we build out calendars, we build out briefs, we do campaign planning. And really we're working on initiatives that balance both the short-term goals and the long-term goals of our business, but also developing campaigns and go-to-market initiatives that are relevant to both our business and extremely relevant to our member.
That's awesome. Yeah, I knew that. I love that when I was looking at the title, you and I talked about it. There's a lot of stuff that you're doing at this this organization. Laura, you heard me talk a little bit about the Marketing Club in New York and how people were studying marketing, staying in marketing, some of that work that we're doing there. Talk to us how you got started in marketing.
Yeah, the short answer is you can thank a teacher. The longer answer is when I was in high school, I was taking this computer class, and one of our assignments was to design this flyer for a movie theater. And I guess my teacher was thrilled with it. I guess she really liked it. She made me feel really good about the project. And I was convinced from there. I was about to go off to college. I said, I'm going to be in graphic design. I just know it's for me. And about one graphic design course in, I realized I had no discernible talent in graphic design, but ultimately I was introduced into the marketing and ad world sort of through that pathway. And I realized I really loved the strategy portion of marketing and the customer portion of marketing. So that was my path there, sort of vis-a-vis graphic design, but yeah, you can thank a teacher. She was the first person at that stage of my life to really help me think about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And she made me feel really good about it.
That's awesome. I tried learning how to do a flash design back in the day when you could do flash animations, but my animations were so terrible and choppy. I had the same realization as you.
Yeah. It's incredibly difficult. And a lot of the designers, if not all of them I've worked with, make it look so easy. And it's definitely not. It's not.
Completely agree. Laura, how do you kind of compare the Sam's Club customer with the Walmart customer?
Yeah, well, their frequencies are a little different and their basket sizes are certainly a little different just because of the volume in which we offer our assortment at versus Walmart. But I think a little deeper than that, the way that our members and their customers prioritize value can be a little different. I would say if you think about the way that our boxes offer an assortment. So for, I like to use the birthday party example. So for example, if you're hosting a birthday party, you know, you're going to be able to go to Walmart and you're going to be able to get everything. So you're going to get the party supplies and the cake and the ice cream and the decorations and the favors and the invitations and sort of the breadth of the assortment that you need. And you're going to get it at a really amazing cost. So that's I would say in what the Walmart shopper would prioritize and how they see value. I would say our Sam's Club member values the quality and the depth of our assortment as well. Because we're a limited SKU environment, you're not going to be able to get the complete party package, if you will, but you know that you're going to be able to get, for example, enough food at an amazing value to host all of these people, or you're going to be able to get an extra large sort of cake or drinks or whatever it is. And you know that you're going to be able to host and host well and feel really good about it because that value in that large pack is there and our quality is there. So I would say the need states are very similar in terms of our consumers and our members, but the way they shop the box is a little different and the frequency of which they shop the box is a little different.
That makes sense. In terms of kind of marketing, looking at it at a macro level, what are some of the channels that Sam's Club is using currently to market?
Yeah, we are definitely full funnel. So we do a really great job of managing everything from impressions and awareness and you know, quality perception all the way down through our conversion-oriented channels. We are obviously investing in channels where discoverability is important. So think search, affiliate, things like that. But as far as the mid to lower funnel channels, we're heavy digital, heavy social. And then we also kind of thinking about that vein of social, where we really see the value in creating experiences where others can tell our brand story. So for example, sure, that might include influencers, but we also like to leverage our club footprint and create those experiences and events that members will organically talk about and sort of get that word of mouth out there.
Laura, I want to talk about a few different things with you. I want to kind of revisit the pandemic a little bit, where we haven't been talking about it, but a company like Sam's Club was pivotal, vital in a lot of people's lives during that time. Can you talk about that time? I mean, it was probably less about marketing and just kind of making sure inventory was there and serving the people and being a essential business. Can you talk a little bit about that time and your experience there or with Sam's being that provider of resources and food?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. It was very much less about, I would say, entertainment marketing and more about surviving and keeping people healthy. And from an assortment perspective, sure, we saw things like consumable stock-ups. We saw things like our pharmacy increase in utilization. We of course, offered PPE and increased our inventory around health-related products. Also things like office and tech, things that would support our members to work from home and support this lifestyle that was now largely based in the home and not the office. One of the things that I found really most interesting, in addition to how we sort of shifted our assortment strategy, was how we also shifted the operational strategy. And what I mean by that is our teams understood the need for early shopping hours. And so we implemented early shopping hours for more senior members, or at risk members. And for, we call them hero hours. So these are healthcare workers and paramedics, frontline workers. They were able to come shop the box earlier during a less crowded time to keep them safe and to keep them healthy and to let them sort of go and, you know, get to their day of helping people. So I was really proud of the teams for rallying around, not just, hey, how do we push out, you know, a different type of assortment during this time, but how do we keep it safe? And how can we, as a total organization, what can we implement to do that?
No, that's awesome. Yeah, like you said, it's like different priorities, right? And it's, no one was buying all 9 seasons of maybe Seinfeld. They were buying different things like toilet paper. They were buying different food. And just like you said, you forget about that, about those early hours, keeping, you know, some of the people, elderly, who were maybe more susceptible to the virus. I just wanted to get your take on it, because there's a lot of companies that we talk to and it's like, yeah, during the pandemic, an awful time, but those companies have really helped a lot of people. And Sam's Club is one of them. Laura, talk to us about the marketing aspect of it. Is a lot of geo-based, like you're doing some marketing around the different locations? Are you looking for, is it a mix of offices? Is it a B2B play? Is it to the consumer? Presence of children? What's some of the makeup of that strategy?
Yeah. So we are extremely blessed that we, at being in the membership warehouse channel, we have access to data that a lot of retailers do not. So we work really hard to drive relevancy for our members and where they are in their life cycle with us. So yes, there's a geo element, but I would say more than anything, our strategy is around the member journey and how we talk to them throughout that journey. So if you're a first year, we might talk to you and nurture you a little differently than a more tenured member, or credit or non-credit, plus and club. We have these cuts of data that we can use. That's of course the broadest level, but we have cuts of data that we can use to drive relevancy depending on where you are with us in your journey.
Or what are some of the campaigns that you have done in your time at Sam's Club that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, two come to mind. The first one I would say is when I began my career at Sam's Club, we were on the early stages of embarking on this journey, if you will, to reposition our Member's Mark brand, which is the private label brand of Sam's Club. And the challenge we were faced with is our members knew we had a brand, but the attribution really wasn't there. It was like the Sam's Club cookies or the Sam's Club paper towels or whatever. And we weren't getting that Member's Mark sort of private label brand recognition. So when we started to think about, yes, we want the attribution, but when people say Member's Mark, what do we want them to know and feel and think and understand about that brand? So what's really been interesting when we were repositioning that brand is we knew that we needed to be purpose-driven. And what that really means, yes, it means putting nature at the center. It means putting humanity at the center. But the commitments that brand has made to the organization and to our members are pretty incredible. So for example, by 2025, our Member's Mark brand is aiming to achieve things like 100% of their packaging will be recyclable, or 100% of the coffee and tea and cocoa is going to be fair trade certified. 100% of the eggs and egg products are going to be from cage-free hens. But so things like that, commitments that we're enforcing internally to not just our business and our members, but to the sustainability and the future of the supply chain, if you will. And that's really what we want our members to know and understand is it's not like, yes, it's a lower price alternative, but it's so high quality. And there's such a tremendous work stream that goes behind it to bring that quality to our members. So that's been a lot of fun. It's not, you know, we did do some creative updates and some new treatments and some new, you know, branding, if you will, but the commitments behind it and getting to work on a brand like that has been an incredible experience. And it's really, as a marketer, when your organization is walking the walk, it's easy to talk the talk. The second one that comes to mind is About 2 years in, I got to work. I had a very small piece on a big game spot with Kevin Hart, which was fun. And it's not just fun because it's, you know, Kevin and he's really funny and entertaining. But I would say just as a marketer, right? Like that's our Super Bowl. That's our Nirvana, is to get to work on a big game spot. So that's just fun. That's just personally been a really interesting experience for me. But I would say those are the two that come to mind most.
So, you know, I still enjoy going to retail stores, but I know a lot of people are going more online. So how do you see the future of retail marketing with the rise of e-commerce?
I would say this is not a super evolved concept, but I still think a lot of brands out there, retail or otherwise, still have such a chance to nail the omni-channel experience more than they are. I think the data systems and the unified data systems that power channels across a true omni-channel, I'll say retailer, in a really integrated way is a lot of work. It's really hard. And I think that the consumer's demand for the experience is sometimes faster than what tech integrations allow. And I think it's very difficult to balance those two sort of need states, if you will, of we've got to get the tech up to snuff, but we also need to make sure that we're exceeding and being proactive about what our experience needs to be and what consumers will be demanding. So I would say that's one. I think also social commerce leaves a lot to be desired. I don't think social commerce is going anywhere, but if you're meeting your customer where they are and they're on social, which is likely where they are, then I think brands really need to find a way to at least offer the ability to purchase on those platforms. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see how social commerce evolves, especially with things like TikTok Shop and how these platforms are just enabling purchasing and using influencers or creators to do that. I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg on that. And then I think lastly, man, delivery, faster delivery. If we think back a couple of years ago, I think two-day delivery was super fast. I mean, it was unheard of, super fast. And now it's the expectation is hours and almost as instantaneous as you can get it. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how brands create digital experiences that don't just make it easy to shop and order and reorder, but to fulfill and get it there as quickly as humanly possible. And I think you're going to start to see these Instacarts and the other, sometimes even third-party channels take even a bigger role than they are, or something like it.
No, those are great, great points. Laura, I hear everyone talk about Sam's Club. I mean, when you're a member of Sam's Club, that's all people talk about, especially, you know, when I visit my friends that don't live in Manhattan. They're always bragging about, oh, I was like, where'd you get all that? They're like, Sam's Club. I'm like, all right, stop rubbing it in my face that you have room to even store this stuff. But that loyalty to Sam's Club, talk to us how your customers stay loyal, as you just touched upon a space that's growing in that area, the wholesale, if you will. Talk to us about what Sam's is doing different.
Yeah. And my answer might be a little non-traditional coming from a marketer, because I do think our marketing is some of the best in class out there. But I also think that the way our teams and our business prioritizes the total experience, and I talked a little bit about anticipating our members' needs and breaking down some challenges or pain points that they may have with the brand, I think constantly pushing on those experiences is creating loyalty. So for example, if you've been in a Sam's Club, you know, it used to be you get your items, you check out at the cash wrap, and then you go and you show you the person the receipt, and you know, there's just a couple of things our members were like, we want it faster, we want it easier, we want it more seamless. And so things like scan and go, where in our app, you can actually scan the barcode, you put it in your cart, you check out in the app. And then we're rolling out what we're calling exit tech, where no longer will you have kind of the associate look, you know, scanning items, looking at your receipt. It's all, you just walk through and it scans your basket and you're able to walk out. And, you know, it's, those are the kinds of things we've directly heard from our members were important to them. And our teams prioritized that and made it happen and broke down some of those barriers for our members. And we're not afraid to do that. And I think, you know, when you're doing things like that and you're making big moves and bold moves and really pushing on the total experience that you want your members or consumers to have, that's going to be the first point of driving any kind of loyalty, if you will. You know, I've always said you can't outmarket a subpar experience. So it makes the marketing all the more authentic and all the more genuine when your company's doing incredible things like that.
Makes sense. I like that. I want to talk about your previous experience, Laura, at agencies, right? You started, you know, worked at some agencies. How has that prepared you for working more like on the brand side, if you will? Like, you know, how has that experience transferred over?
Yeah, I would say it's more kind of ways of working, if you will. The thing I loved about the agency side, so I was in client service on the agency side, and I think it offers this unique opportunity. I describe it as sort of a bike wheel, well, where the client service person is in the middle and you kind of have to know a little bit enough about all the spokes to, you got to, you know, serve your client, but you also need to serve internally and make sure your, you know, associates are taken care of and your client needs are met and your strategy teams are, you know, firing on all cylinders and meeting the objectives that your client needs. And I think it's a true servant leadership role. And having started my career and spending almost 10 years on the agency side in a role that's more service-based, I would say is translated, I think, very well into the brand side, just figuring out how to solve problems and figuring out how to serve your client or your customer, your member, you know, in that way. It's really more of that mindset of kind of agency mindset, bringing it into the brand that I have found to be very helpful, especially in bringing all of the teams together in an organization, especially the size of Sam's, making sure everyone's working collaboratively and cross-functionally.
Laura, this is a fun one. We asked this of all of our guests, which are 150 plus at this point, and we get quite a few different answers. So I'm sure with your title, you get a lot of spam LinkedIn messages and emails. So what's something that really annoys you and what's kind of a message that you actually respond to?
Yeah, this is a fun question. I would say the ones that capture my attention the most are those where the sender has identified something that's very relevant to me. Like, oh, Laura, I saw you worked with so-and-so, or I saw you worked on this project, or any kind of personal connection in any way possible sort of tells me that you actually really want to talk to me. Like you've done some work to figure out who I am. And you really think that there's a problem I might have and that person can solve. I would say the ones that are a little less intriguing are just kind of copy paste. You can tell. And the ones that are that start with the I have something for you versus let's talk about what you need, if that makes sense, don't typically capture my attention as much. So I know as someone that sent LinkedIn messages, it's hard to personalize all of them. It takes a lot of time, but from a relevancy perspective, I would suggest going that route as often as you can.
I'm sure some SDR will be happy. This is the last one for me. Tell us a little bit about you personally outside of marketing. You've had a great marketing career, but would love to know what other things you like to do, hobbies, interests.
Oh, yes. Well, I have 3 kids. So most of my hobbies are taking kids to practice, picking them up from practice, taking them to games and picking them up from games and watching uniforms. But as far as me, I really like to cook and I don't like to weeknight cook. That's terrible. But I really like to weekend cook where there's kind of a nowhere to go on a Saturday night. I can really dig into a recipe, spend a lot of time on it. I find that to be kind of therapeutic. And then I like to travel and I don't get to travel very often. But even things like just getting out and to a staycation is traveling for me. It's fun. I'll go stay in, you know, a hotel 30 minutes down the road and just see, just to change it up. So yeah, cooking, traveling, and frankly, the kids.
Yeah, I only have two, and that takes up a lot of time. So I can't even imagine how many three take.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's those little things, like you said, getting away. I'll sleep on a park bench for 30 minutes to get away sometimes. And last year, my wife and I, we just traveled like, it was like 40 minutes, and we like stayed at a hotel. It was our anniversary. We got away from the kids. It was like, yeah, little things like that. Kids are great. I love kids. We have two kids, but I know what you mean. Just like that little break every once in a while, travel, anything. It's great. Laura, before we leave, I love this about you, because we discovered it, and it kind of comes back where we were just talking about. I don't know why we're talking about the marketing club so much, but you're also giving back in marketing. You're an adjunct professor. You're teaching. Tell me about how that came about and what that's been like. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. Yes. I am an adjunct professor at Baylor University. I teach Marketing 3301, it's an undergrad class. It's essentially intro to marketing concepts, if you will. I've been teaching, I guess this is my fourth semester now, and it has been the best time. I just love it. These kids, they have such a fun, eager energy that I feed off of, and their desire to learn is so interesting and just exciting that, you know, I even bring that into my personal life. But yeah, I got my my MBA from Baylor in December of 2022. And I did it because I thought maybe eventually in like 10 years or something, I would want to teach and just dip my toe in and see if that's something I would enjoy, because I've had such wonderful professors and teachers and educators in my life. And I ended up calling one of my professors that I you know, was in school with. And I said, this is what I want to do. How do you do it? I said, do you have to get a teaching degree? Like, what do? Do you have to go to get a certificate? And we just kept talking. And he said, you know, I think let's work you in. Let's try it a semester. And I went, oh gosh, okay, it happened. So, and it's been the best time. It's been great ever since. And I hope they keep asking me back. I take it a semester at a time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was gonna say, this is one of your alma maters, right? Baylor. That's great. And then, Laura, just a final thought you want to leave with our listeners, anything that, you know, you see in your industry, from your students, something that you're reading, anything you want, the floor is yours.
The further into my career I get, the more I grapple with the idea of authenticity, and not just in marketing, but in general. And what I think is really interesting is with this rise of digital and convenience and seamlessness that consumers are demanding and wanting, I also hear this concern around losing the human connection. And how, you know, how nobody wants that. I think people still want to connect with genuine stories and people and storytelling. So I think the brands that are going to win in the future are going to be the ones that can balance things like convenience and seamlessness and digital ordering and delivery and some of these more hands-off human things, but also do it in a way that uses those things to build relationships and continue to push in on that human connection.
I love it. Thank you for the advice. Thank you for sharing your time with us. That is Laura Vanderslice, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Marketing Planning and Strategy at Sam's Club. Go check out Sam's Club. Get that membership. What have you been waiting for? That's Laura. I'm Vincent. That's the newest Swiftie, AJ Gupta. This has been another episode of The Marketing Stir. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.